Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, although I'm glad I'm not famous.
When you say that, Matt, I completely believe you.
Rich, I want to be. Famous, not so much.
You can be rich without being famous. There's plenty of those people.
It's the best way to be. Then you could pay someone else to be famous for you.
If the only way for me to be rich is to be famous, I will accept that. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. Links will be in our show notes, as always. For only $2 a month, you can get access to all of our bonus material, which includes a monthly bonus episode, weekly reviews of new episodes, and weekly articles written by me. No new people to thank this week, Matt, but we still are only $16 away from making and eating moon waffles and whatever that entails for our indigestion and digestion, whatever.
And vomiting and nausea.
I don't know. Maybe you'll feel great after eating a moon waffle. I'm hoping. I'm hoping that it'll go well.
Says the man with the iron stomach.
Also, Patreon has added a mobile app. So for those of you listening on your phone, you can now download that app and find us and support us through there. It makes the Patreon experience slightly better. Still, they have a long way to go. I'll be the first to admit, but if you think the show is worth a couple bucks, we'd obviously appreciate it if you threw it our way. Also, if you like the show, if you want to help us out in another way, rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out, gets new people to find the show. We always appreciate that, of course. If you don't know what to say, simply say, "The Simpsons podcast with two nerdy dudes on the internet, a very strange occurrence."
Yes, no one else does this, apparently.
Nope, we're the only ones. This week's episode, Matt, is Bart Gets Famous, Episode 1, F11, originally aired February 3rd, 1994, written by John Swartzwelder, there we go, clearly, Robbie, is directed by Susie Dieter. This is her first episode. She went on to direct a good handful of great episodes. It's her first. Let's see. Finished 40th in the ratings, Nielsen rating 11.7, viewed in 10.74 million households, highest rated show on Fox that week. They have a good string lately, highest rated
show really
on Fox.
They really do. You can tell this is in the middle of what people call their classic period of when everything was just clicking on all cylinders for them.
The chalkboard gag, "My homework was not stolen by a one-armed man." It's pretty good. That's a pretty good chalkboard gag. Couch gag. It's
a classic that a lot of people won't get.
Well, I don't know. Nowadays, Fugitive still airs. The Harrison Ford Fugitive still airs on TBS and stuff. Like
that's
Saturday
true.
Afternoon movies. It's always a good one to watch. You know, when you're feeling lazy on a Saturday. Or at least that's what I used to do.
Flipping through channels, you're like, I could stop on this, I guess.
Yeah, I'll let it air while I'm like cleaning the house or, you know, put it on the backgrounds. It's always fun. You know, Harrison Ford does a good job in that movie. The couch gag, "Family Forbes into an amorphous blob on the couch." It's kind of gross.
Oh yeah, definitely gross, but funny still.
Yeah. Episode guest stars Conan O'Brien as himself.
Because he was a famous talk show host by then. So,
yeah, you know. Well, when they wrote this episode, he had not yet been actually on TV.
Really?
Really. So this was all about them. At least that's what I read. By the time he had been approached by NBC, but like he was going to have a television show, but it hadn't aired yet when they wrote it. Like, obviously, the lead time is so long.
Well, they're practically prophetic then, aren't they?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it's funny. Like, that's an interesting thing for a show to have someone who wrote for the show and then became famous on the show. I like that a lot. The episode begins with the Simpsons at breakfast. Bart annoyingly whistling the Simpsons theme. It's great. Bart is kind of happy a little bit. You know, he's not as kind of sad or depressed as he normally would have to face a day of school, because they are going on a field trip.
Yay, field trips.
They have not revealed yet where this field trip is going to, but Bart is, I think, happy just not to have to go to class. Lisa, he's making fun of Lisa because, you know, she has to go to class, and she's like, well, why is it? It's not bad to go to class. I learn things. And we get a nice little daydream from Lisa.
"And that's how I cured all disease, ended war, and reunited the entire cast of TV's Fact of Life, including longtime holdout, Tootie."
Oh, sounds like another Pulitzer for me to polish.
Hush, field trip boy. Impaled on my Nobel Peace Prize. How ironic.
Yo, Lise, come back, Lise. Come back.
Why? I'm so much happier here.
I love how she just goes back to typing at the end of that after she's killed him.
Yeah, she's killed. Like, and it's, this is a great little moment in this episode because it really frames, you know, her date. Like, Lisa is thought of as, like, the nice one in the family, you know, and often an ethical center. And yet,
She
still fantasizes about killing her brother. It's, you know, everyone has bad things they think about occasionally.
The important thing is that she doesn't do them.
Yes, exactly. Things in your head are okay. Things in the real world are bad. Don't kill people in the real world.
Exactly.
I learned that probably the hard way. We go to school. We find out that, yet again, they've done this before.
The idea I get from Krabappel is like, oh, every year they go to the same stupid box factory.
Yes, they go to a box factory, and along the way they pass Toy Town, a fireworks testing range, and the Slide Factory.
Which all of those will be combined into one store eventually in a much later season.
And they are, I don't know, I really like in the bus you have Martin and Skinner like being super excited on one side, and on the other side you have Bart and Miss Krabappel, and they are as bored and disappointed as you could possibly be. And that's, I like that kind of dichotomy between, like, Bart and Krabappel, like, often are at odds with each other, but, you know, they have similarities. You know, they are connected in a certain way. We learn some about the box factory. It's very exciting.
The story of how two brothers and five other men parlayed a small business loan into a thriving paper goods concern is a long and interesting one. And here it is. It all began with the filing of Form 637-A, the application for a small business or farm. Many interesting and important things have been put into boxes over the years. Textiles, other boxes, even children's candy.
Do any of these boxes have candy in them?
No.
Will they ever?
No, we only make boxes to ship nails.
It's a very specialized factory.
It's so boring, it's hilarious. Like, it crosses so slow and dull that it's funny. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a box factory. Nothing that boring has ever existed in real life.
I don't know. There's probably those. I don't know. Real life box factory is that much more exciting than that.
Well, there's lots of big machines and they're crunching crap up. I feel like that box factory is like, oh, we just take cardboard, cut it, and then arrange it in one way or
another. They don't even put together
a real box factory.
They don't even put together the boxes at that factory.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a different place. Where does that happen?
Flint, Michigan.
That's right. It happens in Flint, Michigan for some reason.
That was the heart of the auto industry, so I feel like that's a joke in that direction.
That's true, but they put together, I guess they have to put together everything there. While on tour in the box factory, the kids look out the window and see that Krusty Lou Studios? Is that what they eventually call it? Do they call that in this episode, though?
No, I think it's like Channel 6 Studios or something like that, because it's more of a general studio. It's also where they do the news and those sorts of things. Krusty Lou is just Krusty Studio.
Right, okay. So that makes sense. And the kids obviously want to go. They must stay in the box factory. Bart doesn't and does what he does and escapes. There's a good gag about him jumping into a laundry cart and then immediately jumping out of it, because you don't need to wait around in a laundry cart to escape. You can just walk out. The kids and Skinner and Krabappel are on the search for him, cannot find him. He wanders across the street to the studios, gets right past the security guard, no problem, just by saying he works there.
Worst security guard ever.
That's, well, Springfield. Yeah. You can never be surprised by anyone doing a job poorly in Springfield. I think
that is true.
That is essential to Springfield, is that everyone is except at the nuclear plant. I think, like, Homer is the only one in the nuclear plant that is, because, you know, he's unskilled labor, basically, and both Lenny and Carl are PhDs.
Yeah, well, they have their masters. I don't believe they're actually PhDs.
They're not PhDs? I thought Homer's enemy, sure. they have... Maybe.
Is it they each have their masters.
Okay. But regardless, Bart goes on a tour of the studio. We get a nice little glimpse of everything. You know, we see Bumblebee Man, who apparently is a British actor when he's not in character.
And doesn't actually know Spanish.
I think he knows Spanish.
Sorry, there's a quest line in the Tapped Out game where they go into the fact that he doesn't actually know Spanish.
Oh, my Lord, Matt. You are in deep. Do you want me to throw you a rope?
No, I'm good. I'm happy where I am.
Okay. All right. There's a guy about that. We get Kent Brockman and Krusty. Bart, he unfortunately steals a Danish from Krusty. Krusty's like, I need a Danish. And at the same time, Skinner, I guess, is having to inform Marge and Homer that their son has gone missing. And Marge is in the shower, misses out on the call. And there's a nice little cutaway gag that has kind of become famous in Simpsons lore for this line, as they call Homer.
You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
And it's a very short clip, and normally we don't pull like 3-second clips, but got it. Here, I'm going to play it again just to lengthen up a little bit.
You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
It's beautiful. That is...
It is one of the most memorable quotes of all time.
Yeah. It's so... Like, it's inexplicable, like, how it works. It's just...
It makes your brain hurt.
Yeah, you're like, it's are. Like, there's so many, like, you're, like, trying to peel away the layers, and it just is, it's best to just leave it alone for its brilliance, in its brilliant nature. Bart, seeing that Krusty needs his Danish, and maybe thinks he can get in with him or whatever, you know, it's his idol. Krusty, he loves Krusty. He goes and steals a Danish from Kent Brockman, and gives it to Krusty.
No way am I going to get a Danish.
Here's a Danish, Krusty.
Gimme, gimme, gimme. Now that's Danish. Where'd you get it?
I stole it from Kent Brockman.
Great. He didn't touch it, did he?
No.
Good job, kid. What's your name?
I'm Bart Simpson. I saved you from jail. I reunited you with your estranged father.
I don't know.
I saved your career, man. Remember your comeback special?
Yeah, well, what have you done for me lately?
I got you that Danish.
And I'll never forget it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And that's the... We often talk about them resetting the status quo. Excuse me. Resetting the status quo, you know, from episode to episode, and often not doing callbacks to old episodes. But I think I really like this in the fact that they take the fact that Krusty doesn't remember all this, and it becomes a part of Krusty's character, that he can have so many interactions with Bart and just nothing, just does not remember.
It seems to actually be something about The Simpsons, because Burns is the same way with Homer and Homer's name, as we learned in Who Shot Mr. Burns. Apparently, big shots will not remember your name no matter how much you do for them.
Well, and there are similarities between Burns and Krusty, and, you know, in certain ways. You know, they're both rich-ish. I mean, Krusty, obviously, even Burns, they have, you know, obviously as... They've shifted to having, you know, have plot lines where they've lost all their money. But in them, they are kind of the elite, you know, of Springfield in Burns with his money and Krusty with his fame. But Krusty at this point hires Bart to be his assistant. And Bart, another great gag about Homer getting with Krusty's giant clown hanky, somebody calls it. No, it's just a towel. I think that is a reference to the old Coca-Cola commercial.
Yeah,
Mean Joe Green. Yeah, I am surprised you know that one, Matt.
Well, they made fun of it on Family Guy. So,
all right, we for this month's bonus episode, we just discussed Family Guy's The Simpsons at length, didn't we, Matt?
We did. It was enlightening.
Enlightening. But the act, we go to commercial with Kent Brockman refusing to read the news without his Danish. So Bumblebee Man jumps in. And does an excellent job. And then we cut to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer is trying to basically break the news to Marge that Bart is gone. They found his lucky red hat on a box, and Homer says he has horrible, bone-chilling news. And then Bart walks in and says, hey, that's my hat on top of a double-fold corrugated 16-gauge box. I don't remember the exact phrase. But of course, Marge is quite happy about this. It's like, oh, do you think you might have a future in the box industry? And Bart says, well, that'll always be the dream. But in the meantime, I got a job in show business. And Marge is, of course, a little cautious about this. She's like, oh, I don't know. You're young to have a job. And Lisa says that she has a job helping the poor. And, well, Homer has something to say about that.
No, no, Bart, you're only 10.
I got a weekend job helping the poor, and I'm only 8.
That's not a job. It's a waste of time. What could poor people pay you? Nothing. What satisfaction you get from helping them? None. Who wants to help poor people anyway? Nobody.
There you go. I think Homer is establishing his Republican credentials right there.
Be careful, Matt. All right, we try and appeal to both sides of the aisle. I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I love.
Sorry. He's doing a Trump impression. We'll say that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't care if we lose Trump supporters. But the family's reaction to Homer just suddenly railing against poor people for apparently no reason is just great. They're just like, they just stare at him for a long pause. And then they just ignore it. It's really great.
It's exactly what you should be with people like that. Just ignore them entirely.
And even Bart is like, okay. Like, I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's moving on.
Yep. And, well, Marge eventually acquiesces and says, okay, fine. You know, you can have the job. And for some reason, Bart asks Homer about his job. And Homer goes into some weird fantasy flashback to him as the world's worst one-man band, where he gets attacked by an organ grinder's monkey, and it's weird.
I don't know. I thought it was impressive that Homer could play a guitar even to that extent.
That's true. He played it really poorly, and he's got the drum strapped to his back, and he's got a harmonica in front of his face, and
cymbals between his knees.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's Homer. It's Homer being dumb. I'm fine with that.
That's true. But once this flashback is mercifully finished, we move on to Bart actually doing his job for Krusty, and he has a series of horrible things. First one is he has to clean up the bathroom after Krusty gets drunk and makes a mess, which we don't see the mess, and thank goodness for that, because the way Krusty describes it, I don't want to see that mess. but Bart, of course, is still enamored with show business, and he tries to show the other kids his name in the credits of the show. And thanks to VHS and terrible, what do they call it when they pop over one show over another? Is there a name for that?
I can't think of it. If there is a name, like I think of like an overlay or,
That and VHS tapes just ruined Bart's ability to prove it to his friends.
I'm telling you, I do work on the Krusty Show. Look at the credits.
Bye-bye, kids.
I'm Kent Brockman on the 11 o'clock news tonight. A certain kind of soft drink has been found to be lethal. We won't tell you which one until after sports and the weather with Funny Sunny Storm.
There's my name right there, Bart Simpson.
Looks more like Brad Storch. No, it says Betty. Betty Symington. That's for taking credit for other people's work.
Nelson, enforcing social justice the only way he knows how. Bart is finding that working for Krusty is not all it's cracked up to be. The next day, he is assigning autographs for Krusty because Krusty is far too important to do it himself. There's a giant line, and Bart is just sitting there with a pencil signing Krusty's name over and over and over again. And then the next day in class, poor Bart is called by Krusty in the middle of class on a cell phone.
Okay, kids, open your books to page 60.
Yes, Krusty.
Bart, I need to get your fingerprints on a candlestick. Meet me in the conservatory, chop chop. Don't worry, everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, I wish I was dead.
Which is, of course, a callback to a guy earlier in the show who said the exact same thing when he said, oh, we're so lucky working in show business. And eventually you just realize you're dead. You wish you were dead.
Well, I think this whole episode is a lot about fame and celebrity. And mm-hmm. Bart doesn't understand necessarily what that actually means. And he thinks it's going to be glamorous and fun. And like most jobs at the end of the day, like they're still jobs. You know, like none. Yeah. You just get nothing. All the sheen gets worn away. Like it's very rare that you get a job that you love, entirely. And I do like that.
Yeah, maybe in an industry you love, but it's still work.
Yeah, and clue references. Not enough clue references. I'm all for them in all regards.
That's right. And who would Krusty be? Would Krusty be Professor Paloma? Sounds about right. Bart, Colonel Mustard.
Yeah. If we're going by like movie plot. which is what I live my life by. I think he's a
professor. The Teachings of the Clue movie?
He's mostly Professor Plum. He's not as lascivious as Professor Plum in the movie, but he's...
True.
He's also... He is kind of a dirtbag in a different way, but he's not really... He's not Colonel Mustard. He's not... You know, Mr. Green is very, and like, kind of innocent, so I don't know. That's more Flanders, I would say, as a Mr. Green.
Yeah.
He's not smart enough to be the butler. Yeah, he's Professor Plum. I think he's the closest to Professor Plum.
Yep.
That was a very important breakdown.
It was. In case you guys haven't seen the Clue movie, go watch it right now.
That's
literally
great.
Pause this episode, go watch it. It's a great movie.
It's my favorite comedy ever.
It is definitely up there.
Okay, you probably won't like it as much as I do, but it's still a great. Do not be thrown off
says the man who had a party revolving around it.
Hey, it was a good party.
It was.
Don't be thrown off by the Clue license. The movie has a murderer's row of comedians and actors. It's a great movie. Where were we, Matt? What were we talking about?
I believe we were at Bart going to work the next day and handing Sideshow Mel a sandwich, who takes one bite, spits it out, and apparently will be sick for the rest of the day because of his lactose intolerance.
That's not how that works.
No, I think Mel has lactose intolerance like people today have gluten sensitivity. That's not a thing.
There are legitimate people who are allergic to gluten. They have celiac.
Exactly.
Celiac disease.
And, but biting into a sandwich and spitting it out would do the same thing that lactose intolerance would do.
I think they can't wait. I mean, obviously, if he actually ate it, it would eventually would make him sick. But that's not
true.
As,
but you'd be able
it
to
doesn't
taste
work,
the cheese, I think.
It doesn't work right away. So I understand. No. It's fine. It's a device.
Anyway, it's a silly gag. Basically, Bart then has to listen to Mel yell at him from the doorway to the bathroom.
Yes.
Bart gets sick of this and begins to wander off, saying he's done with this. But at the last second, Krusty comes up to him and says, "I gotta use you on the show because Mel's dead." And of course, Bart is very concerned at this and says, "He's dead?" And Krusty, being the unconcerned boss, says, "Or sick, I don't know. Either way, he's the same condition to me. I can't use him, therefore he might as well be dead." So this is Bart's big break. He gets to be on the Krusty the Clown show, where he puts on a costume and then all he has to do is say he's waiting for a bus and then he hits him with pies for 5 minutes, which is the
that sounds
apex
like a good gag to me,
comedy.
Man. I that sounds like a good gag. Getting some guy getting hit with pies for 5 minutes.
That's true. That's the Lucy show for you.
But the audience here is all adults.
Yeah, for a kids show, and a lot of other episodes, it's all kids in the Krusty audience. Here, it's all adults for some reason.
Maybe it's the late night variety Krusty show. It's separate.
Sure,
from
Krusty has multiple shows.
Yeah,
that's why he's so popular.
Yeah, he has a kids show which has Itchy and Scratchy, and then he has kind of an adult variety show that's in the kind of the style of I don't know. I'm trying to think of like
what, Johnny Carson and the Late Show.
No, not like I don't think of a talk show. I think of more like a Sonny and Cher type thing. He has like a monologue and then sketches with celebrity guests. But
there
we don't
you go. And then later on, he has his stand up comedy, which gets a little blue, where he talks about herpes.
Yeah, less said about that, the better, Matt.
Oh no. Anyway, Bart immediately walks out on stage. He starts to say his line and completely destroys the set. Everything falls over. The backgrounds are completely knocked over. Everyone sees everything behind them. And Bart immediately turns around with a suspicious look on his face and says, "I didn't do it," which sets the audience off. They're like laughing like crazy. And Krusty immediately pulls Bart off stage to essentially berate him for ruining the show. And, well, I'll let Krusty say it in his own words.
"Oh, man, it's a miracle we got through that one. Remind me never to let you on stage again, kid. Some people got it, some people don't. And you, my young friend, do not have... Hold on, I want to finish this thought outside.
It's that kid!
It's the I didn't do it guy!
He's mine! I own him! And all the subsidiary rights!"
That's right. That's what you're concerned about at that moment in time, the rights.
Well, it's again, like that is this is what this episode is about, if anything.
Yeah.
It's about Bart kind of realizing what fame actually is, what popularity is at a large scale. And I think it works really well for Bart in particular. I don't think that Homer to a certain extent has always wanted to be popular, but I feel like Bart as a child is, you know, we've seen him be obsessed with celebrity, like, you know, Star Craving Dad with Michael Jackson. Like, he's always, like, the one who's in touch with pop culture of the family,
Mm-hmm.
So
he's the one who is most desirous of actual fame.
Yeah. And now he gets a boatload of it. The I Didn't Do It is a, and this is also some meta commentary. It's fairly obvious, but, you know, it's there about how, like, it reminded me of the Simpsons do Calypso jokes in the Trials of Horror episode. And it's like this whole third act is a big, for the most part, a huge montage of Bart trying, basically them cashing in on this craze of him. He's the I Didn't Do It boy and all that. He records a rap album, which uses a hammer. There's a lot of MC Hammer in this season, Matt.
MC Hammer was it was on his downslope by then, so he's a popular target of criticism and parody.
Yeah, which is I Didn't Do It to the basically to You Can't Touch This sample. He has a book written about him, which is nonsense.
Well, it's mostly excerpts from the Oliver North trial, right?
Well, let me play it for you, Matt.
See the boy, $5, or call him 24 hours a day on Bart Chat.
Bart Chat!
Are you Bart?
Here I am. I didn't do nothing.
Isn't it I didn't do it?
Yeah, whatever.
Oops. I think I cut. That was the wrong one. But that's the Bart hotline. Okay. It's fine. It's the Bart hotline. I thought I had to get the book description at the end, too. But I think... Yeah, the Oliver North thing is the reason I didn't include it, now that you mention it. It was weird.
It was Homer being creepy?
Yeah, Homer being creepy, but about Oliver North? That's such a very specific reference, and one that I don't know how many people nowadays would, I don't know, at the time... When was the Oliver North trial and stuff going on? That was,
That was the mid to late 80s.
Yeah, I thought it
would have been pretty recent.
Oliver's trial. Let's see. What was the trial? Well, he was in 1994. He unsuccessfully ran for the Senate in Virginia.
Hmm.
So he was still kind of in the news, but it was the 80s when the whole Iran-Contra stuff was going on. But I don't know. It's a weird thing for Homer to reference at the time. So I think that's why I didn't pull it. But that was Bart Chat, which is another, again, Barney doing it's the Corey Hotline, which they've used that before when, Lisa became obsessed with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a similar kind of, phenomenon. That's the word I'm looking for.
Right. It's all about celebrity culture.
Yeah, it's all about celebrity. Bart goes on Conan. Conan makes his appearance. Bart educates himself. Like, he's reading books. He does his homework, basically. Like, we very rarely see Bart motivated to do homework, and he's, looking up stuff to discuss with Conan. And
it's so weird, the things that cause Bart to do something like that. Like, oh, I've got to be intelligent, so, there's a test, and Bart gets an F, and there's this. That's the only time Bart reads.
I don't know. We saw that, we see it in, Father Like Clown. He does a lot of, with Lisa's help, he memorizes part of the time. He does all that kind of research to help. I think Bart, at the end of the day, has been shown to be very intelligent. He, at times, smarter than Lisa. And I feel like it's just he's not when he is emotionally involved in something, he is motivated. When he is not, he is a slacker. And I think that, that makes a lot of sense with his character. And he's emotionally involved in this because he wants to prove that he is not just a one-hit wonder. He is more than just the line. He tries to spark up a conversation with Conan. Conan shoots him right down, just through the line. He does it, with the least amount of enthusiasm possible, and yet people are still hooting and hollering. And Bart, from this moment, is kind of... He, devolves into this, existential, I don't know,
Ennui.
Pit. Yeah, ennui. That is a great word, Matt. And... I don't know. Homer is at the same time trying to get Lisa to also get a catchphrase.
Come on, Lisa, say something funny.
Like what?
Oh, something stupid like Bart would say. Bucka bucka or wuzzle wuzzle. Something like that.
Forget it, Dad. If I ever become famous, I want it to be for something worthwhile, not because of some obnoxious fad.
Obnoxious fad?
Don't worry, son. They said the same thing about Urkel. That little snot boy, I'd like to smack that kid.
Wow, that's pretty harsh, Homer.
I love Homer just being really inexplicably angry at Urkel. That makes me really I don't know, happy. It doesn't make any sense.
It's because that was a terrible character. Well, not a terrible character, but it was a very annoying character.
I liked Family Matters. It was not necessarily a good show, but I liked it. I liked Urkel. You know,
we all did. We were especially young and stupid then.
Especially like mid to late season Urkel. I did not. Early Urkel was really annoying. You're right, but they kind of lightened him up later on, and he became like an interesting character. The only interesting character in that show, really. But Bart, you know, he's everywhere he's looking. Everyone is telling him, everything is telling him that this is all he is. He is just this line. It's the only thing important about him. We get a glimpse of the Match Game 2034 cutaway, where they have some celebrities. That's even in our future. Generally, the Simpsons don't go that far, but we get 2034 where it's Billy Crystal.
This would be funny
Spike
if it was
Lee.
Like a Match Game 2008 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. 2034, it's like Billy Crystal's still relevant. Spike Lee just released a movie. Was it Farrah Fawcett had ended up marrying Jim Varney?
I think that was
the
joke.
They mentioned, but you know, and there's other celebrities. I don't know who they are, but we see a head in a jar. There's a little foreshadowing for Futurama. Even though Futurama is much further in the future than 2034. Yeah. But
apparently someone kept that idea around.
Well, those foundations are there. You can definitely see in various Simpsons episodes little things that you're like, oh,
yeah.
I see. Okay, I know what they did. Bart has locked himself in his room. Krusty is anxious because, you know, they're having a big show. I don't know how often. Did they just put him on every night?
It kind of seems like at that point, like, oh, well, what other way can we have the whole I didn't do it thing go down?
Yeah, that's probably true. So Krusty is anxious because Bart has not shown up yet. He's locked himself in his room. Marge has a little talk with him and gives him a pep talk, gives him some motivation. He's like, come on, you just, if this is what you're going to be, like, come on, just, you have to do your job, do it well. And there's a gag.
I shouldn't let this bother me. I'm in television now. It's my job to be repetitive. My job. Repetitiveness is my job. I am going to go out there tonight and give the best performance of my life.
The best performance of your life?
The best performance of my life.
Repetition. And again, a lot of this is also kind of meta humor. Like, it's definitely poking at television fame and the nature of catchphrases and how the Simpsons, you know, talking about that Family Guy crossover this today we did, and that you can see it in here. A lot of the catchphrase stuff and how insidious it can be, and how a lot of the times, like the Simpsons, how great and how nuanced a show it is, and how many things it can say can also kind of awesome. Sometimes people just dumb it down to like "I Carumba" and "Doe," like that's all the show like is at some points, and I'm like, it's not a good. Summary.
If your show can be summed up by that, then you're not doing your job as a writer, essentially.
Yeah, and like I think John Swartzwelder and the writing staff in general was trying to maybe point that out a little bit. Bart goes to the shows up just in the nick of time, you know, is excited, enthusiastic to do his job, jumps out on stage, says the line, and nothing. Crickets.
He has become a fad and a passing one at that.
He's done for, basically. Krusty walks him out and just shuts the door on him. Like Bart can't be his assistant anymore, even. Like he has
nope,
to
nope. Once you're out of there, you're out of there for good.
Yeah, I guess that's how it is. But Bart is cut out. He's thrown out the door, basically. But he comes home and I love how it ends. And I'm gonna play it.
And now you can go back to just being you instead of a one-dimensional character with a silly catchphrase.
Hi, Caramba!
Idly ho! Excellent.
If anyone wants me, I'll be in my room.
What kind of catchphrase is that?
My favorite kind of catchphrase, actually.
It really encapsulates everything about this episode, about fame, about how dumb catchphrases can't encapsulate an entire show, and how often television relies on them. That's the end of the episode. That Homer line is over the credits. The episode is already technically over when he says that.
It's kind of like they needed to get that one little extra gag because the episode was running long.
A little stinger. Get it in there. But it's a good episode. A really solid one. It does one thing, and I don't know if it's I wouldn't call it a great, but I would definitely call it a good one.
It's definitely good. It's kind of got that classic Simpsons mix of jokes and heart that we always value highly. It's just, I don't know. It's good, not great. Like you said, there's nothing that really pops. I mean, it does have the, you know, speak up and wearing a towel, but it's really the only memorable thing about this episode. Other than that, everything's kind of goes, you know, in your brain and was out by the time the next episode rolled around.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good episode in the classic years of The Simpsons. So that says something right then. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it is among the pantheon of those classic episodes, and we will rank it at the end of the show. Honestly, don't know where it's going to go. We'll figure it out. No submissions for my favorite episode for this episode, but if you have a particular episode that is your favorite, submit it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com explaining why it is your favorite. I will read it on air when we get to it. Got tons of great submissions, some coming up relatively soon. Very excited about it. Matt, it is time for our next segment. It is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
In this segment, I comb through the old Simpsons, alt.tv.simpsons news group. It was starting very close to the beginning of the show, and I look at what people were talking about that week when the episode debuted, see what blah, blah, et cetera, you know, what was on the minds of Simpsons fans at the time. I'm getting tired of the hyperbole, Matt.
People on the internet exaggerate?
Yeah, I guess it's just every week. It's like people, extremes, great. The worst, it's the best. It's, you know, it's just, I picked a few things that were not related to quality of the episode. One is, this is the week The Critic debuted, and people were talking about The Critic.
Oh, yeah. Get ready for the crossover. It's coming soon, guys.
We may do a bonus episode about The Critic at some point. But you know, that's the first, it's not technically a Simpsons spinoff, but it shares a lot of the same DNA.
Yeah. Even the skin tone is pretty similar.
And you know, we'll talk about it when the crossover happens. The other thing I want to include is some guy trying to make a trade. I'm just going to read it. I have two original 35 millimeter frames snagged from a Fox editing room trash can. Both frames are of Homer. One is the way it should be. The other reveals a glare on the animation cell. Optical soundtrack runs down one side. The date is edge-coded into the side of the film. I've hung on to it because I thought it might be worth something someday. I don't know. Maybe it's worthless. But I was hoping somebody might want it. Also have a hard drive that they're not using. Mine just died. I'm using a Mac Plus. Don't have any money to spend to replace it. I'm not attempting to rip anybody off. This is just an attempted high-tech barter. He specifically asked in the title for a 40-megabyte hard drive.
Ooh, 40 megabytes.
40 megs. Whoa. I just thought that was... I love it when there's like there's like antiquated anachronistic stuff on the news so groups about like old computer stuff. 40 megabyte hard drive. That's great.
Yeesh.
But I thought about, you know, there's the normal stuff. Everyone, the end of the world, end of the Simpsons. Even people were saying that the show should have ended after season 2, Matt. Someone said that.
Those people are just the dumbest people who've ever existed.
That's really bad. It's crazy.
We need to pull a Jay and Silent Bob on them, track them down, and punch them as hard as we can.
I'm not going to. I'm lazy.
We're not rich
Matt.
Enough for that,
I'm
obviously.
I'm lazy.
That's true. You only do two podcasts and are trying to get more going. That's very lazy of you.
Yeah, and I'm super lazy. But with that, I think we move on to our next segment. It is time for our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of this week is, what is your favorite grandpa quote? And my lord, we got a lot of response to this one, Matt.
Everyone loves grandpa.
Everyone,
come on.
People were submitting multiple answers.
Wow.
I know, they were like, I like this one, but I also like this one, and I like this one. I included more than I normally do, and I still didn't even scratch the surface of how many answers we got. So if I did not,
well, I'm pretty sure Grandpa's entire purpose on this show is to be a hilarious quote machine. So let's hear him.
Here we go. First, Valerie at Rouge Bonsai, favorite Grandpa quote: "There sure are a lot of ugly people in your neighborhood."
That's true.
We got David at D. Levy. What you do is you give them all your credit card numbers, and if one of them is lucky, they'll send you a prize. I love it. Rob at Rocky 2689. Dear Mr. President, there are too many states nowadays. Please eliminate three. I am not a crackpot.
Are you sure?
John at Chopstyle 311. The government. I didn't earn it. I don't need it. But if they miss one payment, I'll raise hell. Bullcraft Max at Bullcraft Max. Back in my day, we used to call sandwiches Flat Freddy's. Cost 4 playing cards for a bite. It's a newer one. I like to include it.
Yeah.
Amanda. Since I've turned 30, I quote this often, and she included a picture, which is the grandpa meme kind of, I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what it is seems weird and scary to me. It will happen to you. And
it will, for all you youngins out there.
It certainly will. Thomas' answer, what? Sex? What's so unappealing about hearing your elderly father talk about sex? I had sex.
That is exactly the problem with old people talking about sex.
Zach, my Homer is not a communist. He may be a liar, a pig, an idiot, a communist, but he is not a porn star. Great one. Sean.
Thank goodness for that.
Sean's answer, going with Homer's triple bypass, where we have grandpa commenting on a parent's worst moment. They say the greatest tragedy is when a father outlives his son. I have never fully understood why. Frankly, I can see an upside to it. Gretchen's answer, I'll be deep in the cold, cold ground before I recognize Missouri. Her, and in parentheses, as a Kansan and University of Kansas alum, this holds a special place in my heart, which only really makes sense if you know about the border war, bleeding Kansas, etc. Which,
well, after what's been happening recently in Missouri, I'm pretty sure we can just, you know, let them all go.
The only time I spent in Missouri was on a road trip waiting for someone to look at the St. Louis Arch and then leaving.
That's about all you need of Missouri.
Rupin, his answer, come on, there's lots of ways to pass the time. Hitch up your pants, air whittle, make friends with a Chinese man. Mr. Simpson, you weren't supposed to leave the home. Thank you, Ping Pong. My name is Craig. Sure it is. Christian's answer, my story begins in 1992. We had to say dickety because the Kaiser had stolen our word for 20. I chased that rascal and get it back, but gave up after dickety 6 miles. What are you cackling at, fatty? Too much pie, that's your problem. Now I'd like to digress from my prepared remarks to discuss how I invented the toilet. And finally, this got the most likes I've ever seen on any of our answers on Facebook, Matt.
Oh my gosh.
It's got like 20 plus thumbs, which is, that's a lot. Cause, you know, a lot of people just post their answer and leave. This one from John. Can't bust heads like we used to. We have our ways. One trick is to tell stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry to Shelbyville. I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they called Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Important thing was that I had an onion in my belt, which was the style at the time. I didn't have any white onions because of the war. Only thing you could get was those big yellow ones. It's the best. That is a great quote. It's great. Numerous people are like, gave me variations on the answer, but there was tons of variety, and I really tried to capture all of it, but so, you guys did a great job. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm going to have to go with Christian on this one. The story in Grandpa and the Flying Hellfish of my story begins in 1992, because it's along the same veins as the Strike Buster Grandpa, but for some reason, what you cackling at, fatty? Too much pie. That's your problem. It gets me every single time.
Too much pie.
That and turlet.
Turlet is good too. My answer is Amanda's, which is I used to be with it. I quote, yeah. That is, of all the grandpa quotes, that is the one I've quoted the most. I used to be with it, then they changed what it was. And it really does capture like that feeling of like, what happened? It really does. It works so well in that episode. And, you know, that fleeting nature of what cool is and zeitgeist in our culture. I love it so much. But tons of great answers. Our question for next week, Matt, I'm kind of proud of this one. What is your favorite catchphrase usage? This is not favorite catchphrase, but how it was used in a specific case in The Simpsons.
That's going to be darn tough.
So give me a catchphrase and how it applies in the situation. I'm going to have to think about it. It's a tough one.
Me too. Holy crap.
But I will post this question on all our social media, and you can answer it any of those places. On Twitter, at SimpsonsShowPod. On our Facebook, it is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. And you can email us again at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, reach out to us, answer these questions, which I'll post, or just, you know, send us whatever. Thoughts, comments, criticisms, complaints, we get it all. Also, get lots of emails about people who think we are actually The Simpsons.
Sorry to disappoint you guys.
I can't write an episode about you. I literally got someone, Matt, who emailed us saying, hey, this is funny, isn't it? Write an episode about it.
So, yeah, we're doing the same thing, guys. We're trying to get them to write our episodes.
No one is listening. It's fine. I'm sorry. I don't have the heart to reply back to these people. It's fine. But yeah, on to our next segment, Matt. Are you ready?
Oh, no.
It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
I still like it. I still love it. The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I each brings three questions to the table, one easy, one medium, and hard, tries to stump the other. This season, we have a wager on the line.
A horrible wager. Next season will be much better.
We've already got next season picked up, but you'll have to wait for that. Whoever loses this season's trivia challenge will have to drink something we're calling a mulk shake, containing many Simpsons-related food items. It will taste probably gross. It will include Duff beer, an onion ring, I believe some slices of American cheese, some cough syrup. It's going to be gross. It's going to be disgusting, probably blended. And we're going to film that and put it on the internet for you guys to take in. Our tally. Let's see. What's our tally, Matt? Oh, you are ahead by 1 point, 38-37.
Oof, it's getting rough, guys. It's coming down.
We are over the halfway mark. This is the 13th episode of season 5, 23 episodes in this season. Give me an easy question, Matt.
All right, your easy question for today. What is the name of Lisa's favorite doll?
That's an easy question?
I thought so.
Her favorite doll?
Yeah. Stacey Lavelle was the creator.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was not Malibu Stacey. I was thinking.
Yes, that is correct.
I was thinking of her, like, the. From, like, what was it? What episode? Where she had, like, a. Never mind. I was thinking somewhere off. Okay.
You were thinking way too hard.
I was way overthinking. Malibu Stacey.
That's correct.
And
good job.
Lisa Lionheart for one episode. Yes. Your easy question, Matt. Who voices Bart Simpson?
That'd be Nancy Cartwright.
That is correct. Give me a medium question.
That was a rough one.
I know. Tough question, huh?
All right. Are you ready for your medium?
I'm ready.
All right. Your medium question is, what does Homer do to his jacket when he becomes a teacher in Secrets of a Successful Marriage?
He cuts out the elbows. And
yes, but in what order? What does he do, and why is it wrong?
It's the opposite of what you normally do. It's suede and leather when you replace, and he did it backwards.
That is correct. Yeah. He cut out. He put tweed patches on a leather jacket.
Not suede, tweed. Excuse me.
That's correct. Robbie. I'm impressed.
You give me that one. That's
I will definitely give you that
okay,
one.
Okay, that's nice of you. What is you? Okay, you ready for your medium question? I didn't ask.
Ready?
Okay. What is Bart's nickname in Bart's Comet, given to him by the League of Nerds?
I believe it is Cosmos.
That is correct. It is Cosmos.
Yeah. Which is an awesome nickname that I wish people would call me, but no.
You'll be known as Cosmos. Was it database?
Database and report card.
And Lisa.
Because she's the only girl, so therefore she has a nickname.
She's just Lisa. Give me a hard question, Matt. I need to pull out a hard question if I'm ever going to catch you.
Okay, this is a pretty tough one, and I'm going to be very strict on this.
Okay.
What is the song Barney uses to prove his balance and diction in Deep Space Homer?
Okay, I know this. I can think of it.
You got to sing it to me.
I have to sing it?
Yes.
Is it...
You can William Shatner it if you have to.
Okay. I'm trying to... Let me think. I don't know if it's right, but this is what my gut is saying, and that's what I'm going to go for. Is it...
Okay.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I am a Baba, you know, the mineral.
You're on the way, but you got to give me the last four things in the right order.
What? I identified the song.
You've got to sing the song to me.
What? This is ridiculous. I am the very... I don't know all the words to the song.
Oh, come on. I say this in my head all the time.
I am the very model of a modern major general. Something, a scientist, and something mineral. I know it ends with mineral because that rhymes. I don't know. Am I not embarrassing myself enough for you, Matt?
No, I'm afraid you're not. Not today.
Come on.
I might give it to you if what was on the line was not on the line, but no, sorry.
What? This is not a Simpsons trivia question, Matt. That is not a Simpsons trivia question. I correctly identify what song it is. A model of a modern major general is the name of the song. Parodied in Mass Effect by Morden Solus, and I can't sing all the words of that, but I know that's a Mass Effect reference as well. Not knowing the words to a song. All right. I see how it is, Matt. Fine.
All right. So what's my hard question?
You're never going to get any of your hard questions right ever again. I'm going to make it so difficult. I'm going to make you sing every... What is the song? And then sing it. That is garbage, Matt. I am officially lodging a complaint to our listeners.
I will take it under advisement.
I want to hear from you guys.
If I give you partial credit.
Tweet at me. Tweet it. Guys, I handle all social media. I think you know that. Tweet at me. Send me Facebook. Tell me how unfair Matt's questions are. This is garbage. This is usually Matt's very fair. This week, I can't cotton to this. This is a collusion. This is corruption. This is unacceptable. Matt is clearly, he is unhappy that I'm by far a better trivia guy than him.
That's true.
Obviously. And he just, I'm about to win and he can't accept it. I'm making a comeback. You know, he had a big lead going off and then, you know, I'm starting to get back in it and he just can't accept the fact.
Are you done with your little rant?
Hey guys, I decide whose stuff gets read on air. Matt does not decide that. So
that's true. I'll just
maybe wink, wink. If you're favorable towards me, wink, wink, maybe you might be more likely to be read on air, wink, wink.
Uh-huh.
You can't win, Matt. They're on my side, maybe.
Sure they are. Sure they are.
They probably like you more with your innocence and good looks. Uh-huh. Your hard question, Matt. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Whatever your answer is, it's wrong. In Bart Sells His Soul, Milhouse's grandmother lives on what street?
Oh,
Christian podcast, Matt. Don't curse.
My bad.
Those little ears. Street. Safe for little ears.
I believe she lives on 3rd Street.
That is incorrect.
No. Oh, right. That's right. Shoot. That's, Milhouse is on 3rd Street. She lives on 152nd Street.
That's also incorrect.
Damn.
Would you like to guess 5 more times?
No. Once is enough. Twice is enough.
Bart starts at 3rd Street, and he has to end up in Milhouse's grandmother's house. Is on 257th Street.
257th. Ah, dang it. That was a good question.
So I'll key in full points for me. And Matt gets half points because he gets things wrong. This is I have some additional questions for you, Matt, and they have a theme, which I'm gonna. This is from Brian. Brian's one of our biggest fans, always constantly. This is not me picking on you, Brian. And this is not the first time this has happened. But if you send us a theme, you cannot provide me with 40 questions on that theme, because then it leaves us nothing to work with. I will happily read the theme and read the questions on air for Matt, but if you I have to read through this stuff and then I have to come up with questions, and Brian did a very thorough job with questions for his theme, which is Star Wars, Matt.
Ooh. Cuz
Force Awakens coming out very soon.
A week.
Yeah. He has a bunch of questions. We're going to knock out a whole bunch of them. In the Regina monologues, Barton gets to dream about what he would do with $1,000. In the fantasy, what Star Wars character is seen playing a bass guitar?
Seen playing a bass guitar. Chewbacca?
R2-D2.
R2, dang.
It's Bart's moon party from outer space with R2-D2 playing the bass.
That's right.
In I Married Marge, Homer spoils the end of which Star Wars film?
The Empire Strikes Back.
Correct. Fill in the quote from I Married Marge. Marge, you're as pretty as blank and as smart as blank.
You're as pretty as Princess Leia, and you're as smart as Yoda.
Correct. What Star Wars cast member's name is an anagram for genuine class?
Alec Guinness.
Correct. Who wins Diorama-Rama with their collection of new in-box Star Wars action figures?
Good old Ralph.
Bet my Wookiee. In Mayor to the Mob, the mighty robots of what series wrestle the gay robots of Star Wars at Bi-Mun Sci-Fi Con?
That would be the Battlestar Galactica robots.
Correct. In Viva Ned Flanders, who does comic book guy say gave him his bumper sticker that reads, "My other car is a Millennium Falcon"?
Harrison Ford lookalike.
Correct. Worst episode ever. Name the three items Martin's mother tries to sell to comic book guy.
Oh, Princess Leia's anti-jiggle breast tape, and then a original script with an alternate ending. Luke's father is Chewbacca, and I think that's it's a film reel with alternate ending. Luke's father is Chewbacca and an original script. I think
original script signed by George Lucas.
Oh, that's what it is.
Or for Star Wars by George Lucas. I don't know if it's handwritten. Okay, not signed. Handwritten script. In Half Decent Proposal, comic book guy is seen sleeping with a doll of what Star Wars character?
Jar Jar.
Ugh, yes. In Gump Roast, which Springfield citizen is seen dressed as Darth Vader?
Gump Roast?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
Dr. Hibbert.
Nice.
In C.E. Doe, Lenny and Carl are seen having a lightsaber battle using plutonium rods. What are they arguing about during the battle?
I say Phantom Menace sucked more. I say Attack of the Clones sucked more.
Phantom Menace is worse. In Trails of Horror
Definitely.
14, comic book guy reveals he has a tattoo on his butt. What is it?
No clue on this one.
Jabba the Butt. In Trails of Horror 16, in the I've Grown a Costume on Your Face segment, which character is transformed into R2-D2 by the Witch's Curse?
No idea.
Apu.
Huh.
Apu-D2.
I'll have to watch that one again.
Apu-D2. I remember that one. In Homerazzi, what is the clone that Homer puts into the safe?
The clone that Homer puts into the safe? The clone?
Cologne.
Cologne. Oh.
Smelly stuff.
Yeah, I gotcha. No clue on that one.
Son of a Wookiee. Which character dresses as Princess Leia for Inspirational Women Day in Once Upon a Time in Springfield?
Marge.
Ralph. In Halloween of Horrors, which character is seen dressed as Yoda?
Dressed as Yoda?
It's cute.
Ralph?
Sans Little Helper.
Dang it. I'm getting nailed here, jeez.
It's fine. But thank you, Brian, for that. Thank you. I still have a good backlog of questions that we can get to, but if you guys want to send in a theme and or questions, I will happily grill Matt with him and embarrass him for everyone to laugh at.
That's true. That was a great collection of questions.
Yeah, thank you. Excellent. I didn't realize that The Simpsons had referenced Star Wars that many times, but thinking about it, of course they would.
Yeah.
Matt, it is time for our final segment, Matt.
Uh-oh.
It's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them, chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever, and how good they are. Where do we put this one, Matt? It's a Bart episode.
It's a Bart episode.
How is it better than Bart the Murderer?
That's exactly what I was looking at. I was like, better than Bart the Murderer. I gotta say no. I mean, this is a good episode overall, but I think Bart the Murderer has a lot more character to it. It has a lot more of the background of Springfield, and just I feel like it's more of a good definition of Bart. This is kind of a send up of careers and especially in the entertainment industry and those sorts of things. But I don't think it's quite as good as Bart the Murderer.
Bling. Whacking Day is right below it. Mm-hmm. I think Whacking Day is better.
Definitely.
Marge and the Land.
Marge doesn't get enough attention, and I really appreciated the way that episode focused on her and her relationship to, Homer and her as a individual person. So I'm going to say not quite as good as Marge and the Lamb. Brother from the Same Planet, which is right below that, I would say it's probably better than Brother from the Same Planet for sure.
I was going to say it's better than Marge and the Lamb.
Oh, okay. I don't know. That'd be a tough sell for me.
I think I don't. Yeah. Trying to think back. I think this episode's funnier than Marge and the Lamb. I think Marge and the Lamb is.
Yeah,
more,
that's true. That's true. Marge and the Lamb is interesting, but it's not as funny.
Yeah, I think Marge. It's saying more about the character of Marge, and we like that because we don't see as many Marge episodes. But I feel I think Bart Gets Famous is a better episode. I think has funnier gags. And does have some solid Bart stuff in it. There's some good emotional content in there. And kind of, saying things about celebrity and catchphrases and stuff. I think I would put it right below Whack Day.
Okay, I can definitely see that. You're right. This episode, it has more of the classic Simpsons humor in it. So I can agree on that.
Bart Gets Famous. Now, number 32 on our list. Still number one is Cape Fear, Homer's Odyssey, in last place, 92.
Mm-hmm.
It will eventually be supplanted. We will get there.
Someday.
We're a ways off, but it will happen. This list is at our website. It is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find everything there. Links to all of our social media, to our best episode ever list, to I don't know, let's see, Patreon. So if you want to support us, to everything. Yeah, so go check it out. I'm trying to collect my thoughts. Matt, what is our next episode?
Let's go down the list after, let's see. Is Homer and Apu.
Homer
classic.
Homer and Apu, the first Apu episode.
And a great one. I cannot wait.
Yeah, great. One of the most famous songs from The Simpsons ever. And I don't know. We're going to talk about Apu. I've been thinking about it for a while now. But we're going to talk about Apu a little bit, too, I think.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But, yeah, that should just about wrap us up for today. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. You can also please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour. HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com. Etc. on iTunes, you know, all the stuff. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. And for the next week, I will be incommunicado away from the internet. So don't even bother trying. Sorry, guys.
With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.